The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
All right. Yeah, 60 Minutes of Funk, Volume 3, baby. Ha ha.
Real. Check it out, I got my group product, Khadija. Check the R&B, but with the hardcore twist.
The boys look so good, but their minds are not ready. So
hey,
here we go, yo.
Khadija.
I'd rather talk to a man, cause his mind is so steady. So here we go, yo.
Younger girl looks so good, but her mind is not ready. So
right,
here we go, yo.
Right.
That's why I'd rather talk to a woman, cause her mind is so steady.
Here
so here we go, yo.
Friday night, see, I'm vibing and feeling right. Sun was back, me and my baby just had a fight. I gotta clear my mind of problems that I have inside. So I'm bumping my ride so you don't hear me cry.
Your boys look so good, but their minds are not ready.
So here we go, yo. That's why I'd rather talk to a man, cause his mind is so steady. So here we
fellas,
go,
where
yo.
You at?
Girl, the girl looks so good, but her mind is not ready. So here we go, yo. That's why I'd rather talk to a woman, cause her mind is so steady.
Here
so here we go. The weekend's here, and I'm chilling with my crew. You got me stressed, and I'm sitting here sipping blue.
I wanna clear my mind of problems that I have inside.
Oh, as I'm sipping my ride, as I try to hold it all inside.
The boys look so good, but their minds are not ready. So here we go, yo. Talk to a man, cause his mind is so steady. So here we go, yo.
Yo, the girl looks so good, but her mind is not ready. So here we go, yo. That's why I'd rather talk to a woman, cause her mind is so steady. So here we go, yo.
Yo, in the like, a jealousy with envy, with the like, when you smile and wanna blast me, with the like, stick up, give up your jewelry, with the like, suicide for Millie or Vanilli,
what we like,
yeah, it's when we chill with the earth,
what we like,
isn't drinking the Titanic with no ice,
what we like,
it's when the thugs get hype, but make sure what you're bringing home ain't carrying life.
Right about now, if you ready for the ghetto princess, Khadija, let me see one finger in the air, one finger in the air. 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 Hey, yo, Khadija, Khadija.
All right, what's up, Twin Cities? Welcome back. Another episode of Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. I am JSE, the Navigator, joined today by my man, 50 Grand. What's up, B. Buckner? Can you hear me, B? Can you hear me, brother? Hold up. Oh, if I push that button right there. Can you hear me, B?
No, I can hear you.
Yeah, what's up, man? How you doing?
How you man, doing this evening, I'm man? Enjoying this beautiful weather, man.
Man, look at you. Got a fresh cut.
Had to get the cut.
You know, summertime, doing it like that. Summertime.
Had to get it.
What'd you say? You had to get a trim. You had a
fresh.
Yeah, fresh cut. Yeah, you cutting in and out a little bit.
Get rid of everything.
Yeah.
We look like a whole new person.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. That's
test
what's up.
Test 1, 2. How you feeling?
Man, I'm good. You reminded me of something. You reminded me that hip hop's birthday, the anniversary. What are we up to now? 50 in a couple years. Technically, is tomorrow. August 11th, 1973, is when Kool Herc, DJ Kool Herc, held that party. That park, it wasn't a park party. It was a community room party. I remember those, man, back in the day. I had a chance to go out and check that spot out, you know, a hip hop boulevard. So, you know, tomorrow is hip hop's birthday. So we had to wish hip hop a happy birthday. Happy 52nd. Is that right? I think it's, are we up to 52 or 53? Can't remember.
53rd.
Is it 53?
53.
Man, hip hop is old as heck, man.
Yeah.
Still grinding.
Hip hop is old.
Still doing his thing, though. I'm not mad at hip hop for the journey. And I'm happy to have been a part of it and experienced it in different parts of the country, just, you know, and in its infancy, you know, with the dance, the elements of the art form. So, you know, happy birthday, hip hop. You know, you still turning heads, you still bobbing heads. Artists from back in the day still doing albums. I saw, like, I think it was Rakim and a couple other cats have a collab, got an album coming out. Old yes. heads, new heads, you know, breakdance battles still popping up, you know, in different parts of the world. So, you know, happy birthday on this birthday eve to you, hip hop. Keep on the grind. Man, keep grinding.
That's what we talking about, man. Always and forever pledge the allegiance to the groove. And this is I mean, hip hop's worldwide. It has changed lives. It has changed industries. I mean, you know something's wrong with when you have Ludacris actually doing vitamin commercials, you know, something's up.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And then the trajectory of some hip hop artists to, like, get to, you know, diversify what they're doing, whether it was clothing. You know, I was listening to some lyrics that LL put together that I think might be on our set list for tonight. But he was about, you know, he was like, who put you up in here? He was talking about his own gifts, you know, FUBU. Mm-hmm. Who put you down, FUBU? Who made Def Jam even more deaf, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, now my man got a SAG card. I love the story. I love the story of when he got into a scrap with Jamie Foxx. You heard about that, right? Did you hear about that? Jamie Foxx was barking. Barking at LL or something. Something happened, and LL was like bringing it, you know, for the camera, you know, because they were filming this football, right? So LL was
bringing it. Any given Sunday.
LL when Al Pacino was the coach. Now, so he was bringing it, right? And Jamie Foxx took a little offense, right? Because they're actors, you know.
And
L was coming, like, boom. And apparently, I think Jamie swung on him, and L lit him up real good. I heard the story. Yeah, L's a big cat. Even though he was thin when he came out, right? He has some height. He'd been working out. He'd been in the gym, walked like a panther. He handled Jamie Foxx. And apparently it was like, I heard, you know, this is a great thing about social media now, because now you can hear bits and pieces of a story that you had heard before, but from a different perspective. I think Bill Bellamy was in that movie, and he was talking about how their camps, you know, started, like, growing. You know, you had two... you know, the what is it, the vans or the areas where the artists or the actors stay, right?
Oh, yeah.
So L, you know, called it, you know, he had his homies from Queens, and Fox had his homies from Texas, and they started getting, you know, because they had the scrap, it started after in the aftermath over the next couple of days, cats started to, you know, arrive en masse on top of their boy, and then it was Jim Brown who had to mediate, right? Jim Brown had to come in, and he said they was all in one of the rooms. What did they call those, man?
Trailers.
The trailers, right? Yeah. So where the actors stay, you know, temporarily sleep in those trailers, you know, so they were all in one trailer. I don't know whose trailer it was. And it was up to Jim Brown to kind of squash it. And he was like, yo, listen, you know, we out here, we can't be acting like this, you know, for them folks out there. They can't be seeing us like this. Y'all gonna have to squash this. He came OG on them, and they were able to finish up the film. But yeah, interesting.
Well, just remember, Jim Brown played the coach in that movie too.
He did play a coach in that movie. And, of course, you know, one of the most gifted running backs to ever play in the NFL for the Cleveland Browns, and a clear OG who they listen to. You know, they listen to. I heard other stories where some folks was, Jim Brown was like popping off and they wasn't listening to him. But in this situation, he was able to mitigate that situation and de-escalate things. So, but it sounded like Fox got his feelings hurt a little bit because LL was on up on him like Queensbridge, bro. Farmers Boulevard? I don't think.
Farmers Boulevard.
I don't think L was from Queens. Queensbridge is a project, and I think L was from a little different neighborhood. Even when you listen to or watch the Tribe Called Quest Beats, Rhymes, and Life movie, you could see that they weren't born in Queensbridge. They were, you know, in different neighborhoods. So Queens has houses and kind of, you know, a little bit of a middle class neighborhood too. So you have different kind of housing in that area. But anyway, all of that is really important. And hip hop's birthday tomorrow is really important. But the other thing about tomorrow, we have finally arrived at primary election day here in Minnesota. And a lot of things are on that ballot. A lot of things are at stake, right? There's the U.S. Senate race, right?
Yes.
When we've seen the nasty ads, you know, you got Peggy Flanagan trying to become the first Native woman elected to the U.S. Senate. You got Angie Craig trying to come from her position as a congressional member, right? Mm-hmm. And it's gotten really ugly. That would, I would say, has been the most combative. That has been the most combative race for this primary, where Dems got two philosophies within the Democratic Party. It's a big tent, a lot of different attitudes, belief systems, but two very, you got the progressive versus the more moderate. And, this is coming to, it'll come to a head tomorrow, and all based on turnout. We talked about this before, what the normal turnout rate, 20% is a normal primary turnout rate. So, so there's that race. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, with the turnout, early turnout is saying that the numbers are actually high already, almost about to break records from the 20, what did they report out as, the 2018 election, where there was a lot going on as well. I think that was when Walls actually ran for his first time, and there was a great interest about that race. And the same thing's going to happen here. You have not only, you know, you got multiple races as you were clicking off. Don't forget about the other side, you know, the hotly contested activity in the Republican gubernatorial. Hotly contested, well, it won't be contested, but it'll be there on the senatorial to see who goes out of there. Michelle Tafoya.
Yeah, it seems like she's the front runner on that for sure.
She's going to clear out from there. But you have all these races, and then also you get down to those local races, the nonpartisan races, the county attorney in Hennepin County.
That's right.
Is Hennepin on the county ballot attorney. With five.
Cedric Frazier is on there, but other folks are in that race too. I think Andrew Folk.
Other great candidates.
And I can't remember the name of the other
Hugh
guy.
Wynn?
Yeah.
Hugh Wynn. Andrew Falk. I think you said that already. I forget the.
Diane. Okay. Is there a fourth candidate?
No, keep going.
Yeah, yeah. You also, you mentioned the gubernatorial race on the GOP side, which is Mike Lindell, the pillow guy, right? Who's in there? He's in the mix. I see Mike Lindell signs. When I travel outside of the metro, you also have the speaker, Lisa Daymuth, who's in that race. And then Kevin Qualls, is that his name? I normally...
Calvin Qualls, yeah.
Calvin Qualls. He ended up with the endorsement. But that seems like a three-way battle. Anyone could win that. I haven't seen any of the polling on that. And then, of course, a few other races. Some things are kind of, you know, we're pretty certain that Amy Klobuchar is running for governor, is going to come out from the Democrats' perspective. The other thing about primaries is that you can only vote one party. You cannot cross the ballot and vote you cannot. Your ballot will be spoiled if you vote for, say, the GOP candidate for U.S. Senate and then the Democratic candidate for governor, that would spoil your ballot, right? And so you have to be careful about that. Polls will be open, I believe, 7 a.m. and for parts of Minneapolis. Other places, more than likely 8 a.m., 8 to 8. So make sure you get out there and vote. And primaries are sneaky. They can sneak up on you. You may have a favorite in the primary, but if that individual doesn't get enough votes, they're not going to make it to the general election. And so there are some key primary contests that, you know, need some attention and need your vote. So make sure you get out. And it's a good practice to participate regardless, right? It's a participatory democracy that we're in. What better way to rally back against tyranny than to show up at the polls? And a good friend of ours, mutual friend of ours, once said, hey, if your vote wasn't important, why would they be spending so much time to take it from you? Right. Man. So there's game in there. So you gotta, you know, make sure you're in the game by participating in the process. So go out and cast your vote tomorrow.
That is correct. That is correct. Just to remind everybody, Secretary of State's website, SOS. I just don't thought about that. That's a whole nother cry for help on that one. SOS.mn.gov. Go there. You can go to elections and voting. Put your information in to figure out where you're going to vote, which on your ballot, all those type of things. Great resource. And, you know, don't hesitate to even have to call them if you have to. And just to remind everybody, the number across the state of Minnesota is real straightforward. It is 651-215-1440. And in Greater Minnesota, 877-600-VOTE, V-O-T-E, or 8683.
Yes. So make sure you get out and vote. And if you're looking for more information, like Mr. Buckner said, get out and check out the Secretary of State's website. Tonight we are featuring the music of none other than Funk Master Flex, born Alston George Taylor Jr., August 5th of 1968. DJ, rapper, I haven't heard him rap very much. Producer, current host on New York's Hot 97. Legendary for Funk Master Flex freestyles. That's where we've heard the legendary Black Thoughts seven-minute freestyle flow. Kendrick Lamar. We heard Drake on there like spaghetti, trying to catch the beat. Funk Master Flex, one of those, you know, mixtape dudes who came out and has had a very, his career, longevity in his career, has been one of those super DJs that out of New York. Again, he was born, let me see, he's just a couple, a little bit older than me. He's born in the Bronx, you know, home of hip hop. Has worked with numerous artists, as you will hear on the various tracks we play tonight. So that's a good segue. I think it's time to get to a music break.
Get to music.
Yeah, thank you for tuning in to another week to Beaks, Rhymes, and Democracy here on KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, KFAI.org on the net, Radio Without Boundaries. We'll be right back, y'all.
Hot. But where's my who? Love my but where's my what? Love my but where's my huh? Trouble, with it that I need to see y'all with it that I need to hear y'all.
Programming on KFAI comes in part from First Avenue, presenting Casket Cassette at the 7th Street Entry, Thursday, August 13th.
Dark wave post-punkers Casket Cassette storm the 7th Street Entry stage with their signature sound of brooding synth goth.
They're touring with their latest release, Reducer, an album that breathes with the air of life temporarily stranded between departures.
Casket Cassette wraps their music in the old, rotted hope that someone might reach into the wreckage and switch the current back on. Opening the show is Stranger Gallery and Stair Away.
More information about Casket Cassette at the 7th Street Entry is available at first-avenue.com.
I rock house from old folks to children. Squad coming through, knocking down your building. Lyrical murderer, who you be? We never heard of ya. Mama's boy from West Suburbia. You don't belong around here, so what you doing? Keep pursuing my crew and get ruined. Screw them. Red man, how you feeling? Let's will him and deal him until the pain is peeling. I wish a few of y'all would stop stealing from the mass appeal. Stack to the ceiling.
Ooh.
A magic rap attack is coming cause my style be saying something. I rock like Charles Dutton. E-Dub be the best thing running. When my jam comes on, DJs just start cutting. Rubber dubbing, jigger jigger. Strip every name brand clothing off them TJ hookers. Watch how live it gets. Like a jungle, so pack your survival kits. Me and Red Man been gorillas for years up in the place wildlife and throwing Britney Spears.
You wanna rock? Then get up.
Okay.
Yo, you getting spit up.
All right, welcome back, Twin Cities. Beast Rhymes and Democracy here on KFAI. Checking out the tunes this evening, then none other than Funkmaster Flex, also known as Aston Taylor Jr., born in the Bronx. Another individual of Jamaican ancestry, right?
Yeah, I was going to say something.
Real interesting, Jamaica. You know, we've talked about this, hip hop's birthday being tomorrow. We've talked about DJ Kool Herc in the past. Afrika Bambaataa, also of Jamaican.
Yes.
Rest in peace to Afrika Bambaataa. Very, very complicated figure. In hip hop, because of some of the allegations of things that happened, during his life, but Jamaica, right, having such an impact, a couple weeks ago or a month or so ago, I was playing some of that dancehall reggae that I remember was so well intricately woven into certain playlists that had hip hop, reggae, and house music back in the day on the East Coast. And, beginning to now, there's always those elements. And it's funny because you think with the newer style of hip hop, right, mumble rap, your favorite, Mr. Buckner.
Yes.
Or different styles, what do they call it? Drill music or what? Different styles of modern era hip hop. What's interesting is reggae is still, finding its way. Finding its way, even though sonically, hip hop, which is very interesting because it's really kind of an East Coast thing. I didn't hear a lot of mixes with reggae in the South when I was down to school. That was a style. No. That was, that was Miami bass music and then, trap or whatever that Southern sound that Outkast was about. I didn't hear a lot of reggae interwoven in that like I did in the D.C. area, New York, Jersey, Virginia, right?
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, reggae still finding its way. You hear artists still kind of make it. And of course the artists, like My age is showing today. What's old girl's name from Barbados? Rihanna. You got Rihanna. The other artist, female rapper, with the overinflated bottom. There's Cardi B, and then there's who's the other girl? I think she's from the Caribbean as well, right? So Caribbean influence still in the mix. And then from a playlist that I played a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, you know, you heard some of the old head dancehall artists that had been, you know, there was a compilation that DJ Khaled had put together with those artists. So again, you know, reggae. So anyway, I a little sidebar, as it was revealed to me that Funkmaster Flex is Jamaican. So anyway,
he is Jamaican and has been doing some amazing work across the board, as you laced it up for us.
Yes,
through the first part of the show. And again, the greatness about this thing, you know, with all the great artists, the DJs who become not only the celebrities but basically trendsetters across the board. You know, that these individuals that have set the pace for this industry and this culture has been remarkable. So big up to you, Navigator. One of the DJs and on the scene and everything else, making that happen.
Yeah, I remember Flex because, you know, there were different DJs on the East Coast that used to do mixtapes, you know, when that was a thing, you know, and Flex came on kind of at the end of that era and then continued to do albums or discs that were those mixtape style discs, which a mixtape was usually a DJ who was, you know, beat matching, blending an acapella with a different kind of beat, you know, and that we had the Kid Capriz, we had Ron G, right? We had other folks, and Funkmaster Flex was younger than some of those dudes, or at least came on the scene a little after, but Flex came out with about four mixtape type albums, along with the Violators album, which I think Flex was intimately involved with that. You know, we talk about Red Alert, we talk about all these different DJs in New York, out of New York, that had a profound impact of helping to sustain hip hop. And Flex is right there and doing it even till today on WBLS WRKS, which is KISS. Yeah, he's on KISS FM. And so, you know, he's got Funk Flex Freestyle. He got all the artists of this era who come in. It's kind of like you got to go through Flex to get that cred a little bit. You know what I mean? Yeah, to get that respect as a lyricist. That's why he has a lot of, you've seen a lot of folks in those chairs, Method Man, Redman, other newer, I don't know if I've seen a J. Cole freestyle. I have to look through the archives. But, you know, Flex, that's one of the, like, you know, crossing through the sand, so to speak, getting to that other side. You got to go through Flex's operation and show. If you're, you know, everyone's not a freestyle rapper, right? We'll put that out there. Like, some rappers, some of the best rappers write their lyrics out and maybe aren't, you know, that great off the top of the head, off the top of the dome, right? So, but Flex will put you to a test. If you say you are, he put you in the chair, put that mic in front of you. You better show up. You can't, you know, you can't be spaghetti, right? You gotta come correct. So
leave Drake alone, man. He's going through some things too.
Who's that?
Drake.
Is he still artist?
He's still going through some things.
I don't know. He ain't recovered from they not like us.
He did a 3-in-1 album.
Did he?
Not that long ago.
Three records?
That was in the spring. Three records in one. And, you know, let's just say he was batting about 33%. So it's all good.
Oh, man. Some things are fatal. I mean, I had to give Jay-Z his props, because when Nas came out with the Ether, everyone thought it was a rap, right? Everyone was like, you know, like those are the kind of things that happen to MCs where you don't recover from, you know, since Jay wanted it. But, you know, Jay showed that he had flexibility and that he could stand on his own as a businessman and continue to make albums under Rockefeller. So it's Girl, interesting. Yeah. Everyone doesn't bottom out. It does feel like Drake bottomed out a little. We'll see what happens. We'll see what the comeback is like.
A little.
But the little man, speaking of little man, who was punching up.
Man.
Caught him with overhands, under uppercuts.
And he came off the top. Man, shout out to SummerSlam being here a couple weeks ago because Kendrick Lamar came off the top rope and just said, take this elbow.
Yeah.
And he ain't been right. He ain't been right since. And
you could get caught slipping.
Well, he wasn't caught slipping. You should have saw it coming.
And those of you who might get caught slipping by not going out and vote, you better go out tomorrow. You know, it's now we have early voting. We've been talking about that. That was available in this state. It's same day voter registration in Minnesota. You don't need to declare. You don't have to declare a political party, but you can only vote for one political party in a primary, or your ballot would be spoiled. So if you want to vote for Cedric Frazier, but you also want to vote in the primary for governor on the GOP side, well, you're going to have to make a decision. Which one of those is the most important?
Nope. Remember, because it's on two sides, and that's a nonpartisan race with the county attorney.
My bad.
As well as county.
You are correct. You are correct.
So they're on two sides.
As Minneapolis voters, we do have the nonpartisan, or Hennepin County voters. We do have the nonpartisan races. Thank you for the correction. All right, my bad. That was a bad example. U.S. Senate and the Flanagan versus Angie Craig and another. You all get what I mean. But at any rate, you can go and take and kind of deal with that. The folks that are there can explain to you what is important, but what is. The most important is that you go out and cast your vote. And
that
you don't really often hear us really pubbing up. We talk about primaries. You know, this show is about politics. But this one is really important. You should really get out there. You have time. You got one day left. The polls are open in Minneapolis, in this area, the Twin Cities area, in most places from 7 to 7 or 7 to 8.
7 to 8.
And, in other places from 8 a.m. to 8, make sure you get out there and do your duty, respect the process. You can't complain about the process or complain about politics if you don't participate, or at least you shouldn't. And so you have an opportunity tomorrow to show up and cast that vote. And with that, I'm gonna take a quick break here. You're listening to Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. We're gonna get back into some more of this Funkmaster Flex. Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy here on KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, Fresh Air Community Radio. We'll be right back, y'all.
Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at? We gon' do it like this. Hey, tell you ready, check it. I got 7 Mac 11s, about 8 38s, 9 9s, 10 Mac 10s. This shit's never end. You can't touch my riches, even if you had MC Hammer and them 357. Biggie Small, the millionaire, the mansion, the yacht, the two weed spots, the two hot blocks. That's how I got the weed spot. I dread in the head, took the bread and the lamb spread. I make number runs, I give MCs the runs dripping. When I throw my clip in, I slay from far away. Everybody hit the D-E-C-K. My slow flow's remarkable. Peace to Mateo. Now we smoke weed like Tony Montana sniffed the yayo. That's crazy blunts, bad hells. My voice excels from the avenue to jail cells. Oh my God, I'm trapping like a pigeon. I hope you're listening, smacking babies at they christening.
What you gonna do with it, Tupac?
Yeah, where the motherfuckin' dogs at? Throw your motherfuckin' little finger. We gonna do this like this. I thank the Lord for my many blessings. Don't stress and keep a best for protection. From the battle of a Smith and Wesson. And all my d***s in the pen, here we go again. Ain't nothing separating us from my medicine. Born in the ghetto as a hustler. Older, a straight soldier. Walking at the busters, no matter how you talk. It's never done.
You see me strike it down the block, hitting corners, driving like a motherfucker, living like I wanna. It ain't no stopping at the red lights. I'm sideways, thug like motherfucker. Rob pains, let the cops put they lights on. Chase me, zigzagging through the freeway. Race me in a high speed chase with the law. The realest motherfucker that you ever saw.
Programming on KFAI comes in part from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting the global get-together at the Minnesota State Fair. The Cedar returns to the State Fair's International Bazaar stage for the fourth year of their global get-together. Wednesday, September 2nd, Obie Original and the Black Atlantics bring Afropop, highlife, and funk to the fair. Nigerian-American Afrobeats and Afrofusion artist Obie Original leads the Black Atlantics to bring their signature blend of Igbo highlife, hip-hop, R&B, and jazz to the International Bazaar stage near the corner of Judson and Underwood. More information about the Cedars Global Get-Together at the Minnesota State Fair is available at thecedar.org.
Ha ha, said world flavors. Said world flavors. I said the world, man, who's standing here? I let you know, flow so diligently. Most deaf, I make it sound so differently. Most deaf. Me and Sean J both willing to be considerably. Sound like a good feeling to me. To all my people originally, all for Brooklyn shows. Give the party people what they looking for. And it's looking more bright. My game all tight. Said it's alright, alright. I said it's all night. Rockin' all night, all night. We rockin' all night. All my people in Brooklyn, show your respect. All my people in QB, show your respect. Flex, mix this, most kick this. Now you go get this. Handling the business. From here on to the city limits. Them other cats standing unfinished. But let me jump in it. I won't win it. I don't win it. I got the Sean J jump in it. A company.
All right, Twin Cities, welcome back. Listen to the sounds of Funk Master Flex. And the dope thing about mixtapes, at least those that were legendary, and there was a lot of mixtapes. I remember peddling mixtapes out of the Ford Escort I had back in the day down in New Orleans. With shout out to Black Medallion Records, my cousins Smoke D and B Divine, and we were out selling mixtapes, you know, that we had created. And so that was a thing that used to happen back in the day, you know, when there were cassettes. You know, some cats do it today. You know, they put out their their CDs. You can see that if you're in Vegas, you know, someone, hey, you know, $5, you know, check this out. But then, you know, yeah, a little bit of everywhere, but there are some mixtapes that are a cut above. And what's dope about, you know, as you dig through the archives, the virtual archives, that there's a track that I played, you know, just before we went to the break. That is the only time that was curated by Funk Master Flex, was on one of his mixtape albums. I think it was The Tunnel. And that was a session with Biggie and Tupac. And I have not heard of another record or recording that had Biggie and Pac on it.
Yeah, but,
because people don't realize this. But Pac and Biggie used to be friends.
We're boys.
They were homies. Like, Pac used to sleep on the couch. You know, these dudes were at it. They were on the grind together because, again, Pac, although he spent a lot of time in Oakland, started out in Baltimore and was on the East Coast and was getting down, like, in a lot of different places. Before, you know, getting down with Def Row, Aftermath Records, Dr. Dre's production company. And so it's one of the only recordings that I've ever heard. It's the only recording I've ever heard of Pac and Biggie together. And you could clearly hear that was maybe they were freestyling at an event. And some of the lyrics, I mean, it's kind of, maybe it wasn't as much of a freestyle. A lot of folks, they might freestyle, have some off the dome, but it'll quickly go into something that they say regularly. And yeah. So it's not a real full freestyle, but that is both of them cats getting it in. I think that was recorded somewhere in New York, and Flex got his hands on it and put it on his album, and it's a classic. So it's real cool to hear those legends who, you know, unfortunately the way in which their histories were interwoven, you know, ended up in violence and the death of both of them. And you know, we're about to see the Keefe D trial that's coming, the murder trial. All these years, 30 years now, plus, or 30 years, since the tragic shooting of, almost some levels assassination, because it was, you know, was a hit, you know, at the end of the day, right? Exactly. And so, at any rate, it's a pleasure to play that. Hopefully folks appreciate it, hearing Biggie and Pac on the same track.
You felt the energy in that whole track, you know, matter of fact, almost to the point where I was like, oh, they screaming, but you know, that's probably that energy that they feeling each other, you know, and kind of, there, and you know, iron sharpens iron, you know, and you just keep building from there. I think that's always been the beauty of hip hop. It always has been this adversarial support system. I got to get better because I got to be better than the next person, but that's my boy, and you always hanging, you're doing all those type of things, and you get some legitimate beefs. You know, that has always been part of the thing with hip hop, you know, not only just with the MCs, but the B-boys, the DJs, the writers, the, you know, all of it. You know, there's always been this whole thing of how do you uplift? How do you become better? And, you know, what you heard, you know, that Flex has always been able to do is bring people together. And that was hard to hear, you know. I mean, this gone too soon between both of them, but they definitely left the marker down. And it is amazing, you know, just as, you know, again, this cat's been talking on documentaries, and I guess it took 50 Cent to get to the case. And now all of a sudden we got cats going to trial. So shout out to SUV 50 Cent and all his work he does.
That's
man.
Do we want to talk about the continued ascension of Olivia Miles
with the leaks?
The
MVP?
A case should be made. I think it's being made. I don't know if there ever was a rookie MVP in a WNBA. Never. Maybe when it first started out, maybe did they have an MVP award first season?
I would have to get. First year they had, but
Olivia Miles, and then you add the amazing play of McBride, and now Nafisa coming back, not missing a beat, right? Adding that interior presence, what I've seen, because I've watched a fair amount, because Olivia has really just impressed me as a youngster, even though she was a fifth-year student. I mean, she stayed an extra year to hone her skills. But I don't think people thought she was going to be like she is, right? Out of kid, out of Jersey, bringing it. Like, I don't know. I see her do some things. It's like George Gervin. It's like Magic Johnson. It's like Olivia Miles. She's setting her own new trend. I think she has earned consideration as MVP. For sure.
She has been probably the most dynamic, as Cheryl Miller calls her, the show. And that's a high praise coming from the,
that's right,
quite honestly, the greatest woman basketball player of all time, that she calls her the show. And to watch her operate, not only have the trust of a very veteran team and a veteran coach, basically they throw her the ball like, all right, what are we going to do now, kid? And let's go. She looks like your little sister. She looks like the little sister that she just dragged along to the court, and all of a sudden she found out she was able to hoop, and now all of a sudden everybody's like, you know, wants to get down with her and everything else. And it's been amazing. Let me be very clear about, you know, let me say two things. One, I was, when Minnesota had the second pick, I thought, you know, we were going to get AZ Fudd. I thought that's who we were going to get. Mm-hmm. And I was all in because I love AZ Fudd's game.
AZ Fudd's a baller.
She's a baller. Yes. She can shoot the three, the whole nine. Mm-hmm. Big defensive body, can guard almost four of the spots, four of the five. So I was like, you know, I hope AZ Fudd comes to us. Lo and behold, I'm just going to say it this way, KFAI family, Beats Rhyme Democracy, I was wrong. Because that child named Olivia Miles is if she stays healthy, is going to be probably the most transitional player that you will ever see in this league. Because it's crazy. She's scoring at will. She's controlling teams. You know, not great on the defensive end, but she when she's scoring four baskets to your one, it doesn't matter. And so
distributing to her teammates
and distributing like nobody else's business. And you got the third best player in the league with Nafisa Collier.
Yes,
you know, I would have to say after it's Asia. Don't get it twisted. It's still Asia.
And they got handled. Asia was here, but they got handled because they had too many weapons. They had too many weapons down the stretch. The links.
You got McBride doing her thing. Williams doing her thing. The bench is coming up scoring. They played back to back yesterday. They played Dallas yesterday, and Paige Becker homecoming to home nine had a little rest. Mm-hmm. And you know, handled. Basically, it felt like the links were still playing like 75% through the first three quarters. Said, let me just turn it on just to make sure. Mm-hmm. And Paige and the rest of the crew. Again, AZ Fudd was actually out for that game, so I didn't get a chance to watch her play live. But the reality was, it was a handling. And this team is going, this team's going to be playing deep into October. And, you know, we should be preparing for another a parade around here.
I mean, they're definitely about to make a run for this championship. I don't see, like, you know, the Lynx, number one team, the number two team, to your point, Asia Wilson, that's the Las Vegas squad, right?
Yep.
The Aces, they nice. They are nice. They got some cold-blooded shooters on that squad.
The national team.
But it looks like, you know, as great as they are, they won the championship last year, right?
They won, yes.
It looks like as great as they are, the Lynx just got a little more. And it's funny because when you see a team that is superior, right? Because they do have, like, Olivia Miles has come into her own so quickly, and teams haven't had the opportunity to really figure her out yet because she does things so well. She got ball handling, court vision, a basketball IQ beyond her years.
Yeah.
And they haven't been able to figure her out yet. And she is carving defenses.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, she's had such an effect that, you know, they're making T-shirts with Olivia Miles as the logo for the WNBA. I mean, this kid has only been in the league for a couple months.
She's only played 30 games, if that.
Wow.
And
that's crazy.
And again, I'm looking at
it right now. I mean,
did you think she was 5'10", first and foremost? No.
I didn't know. I didn't know. But that's a nice size. That's a nice size guard in a WNBA for sure.
She's
averaging about 20 points a game.
She's averaging 20 and 50% from the field. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then this tells you how much of an impact she is. Because remember, the Lynx were a high team last year. You had the Liberty, you had Phoenix, you had a couple of teams. And remember, we didn't make the championship last year.
Nah, Nafisa got hurt. So yeah, that was it was a wrap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nafisa didn't play for the first half of the year.
I know. And they were the number one team.
And we're the number one seed by two games right now.
Yeah.
And let me just add in another little piece to this, because you got to remember this. Now it's Batman and Robin now playing, because now Nafisa's back. Mm-hmm. And that first game that the Vegas played against the Lynx down in Vegas, it was a close game. Vegas pulled it out. But you can see on Asia Wilson's face, like, we barely pulled that out, and Nafisa's not here. So now all of a sudden, Nafisa's back. That changed everything. Back. Now all of a sudden, now everybody's like, oh, we can't deal with this.
Well,
this
I
is
mean,
something different.
You got a player who can break down a defense, who's a point guard, who can score going downhill into the paint or dish it to McBride, who's having one of her best seasons, scoring money from the three or from wherever, because she can also put it on the ground. And you have the perimeter shooting of the
team.
She
can put it on the ground. She's going to shoot it from the levels.
But now they have an inside presence with Fee that gives them
2013.
Gives them just so many options. How do you defend against that? You know, there's not another team. Like I just think about the teams, the Liberty team that the Lynx lost to a couple years ago. They had size. You know, their advantage was size. They had Inesco, who's a, you know, lights out shooter. Sabrina. They had, of course, Stewie in the paint. And the other woman, she's been traded now. I can't remember her name, but just a huge human being. But the Lynx have, you know, it's an all-around high-end, high-quality team. When you can have a Courtney Williams, who used to be your primary point guard, who you needed, and they had the one girl who's now in Seattle. I can't remember her name. But they just have so many options. I'm happy for the Lynx, and I want the rest of the teams in the state to catch up.
Yeah, man.
Catch up. I keep hearing about the Kyler Murray and JJ McCarthy saga. You know, whichever one of you dudes takes the field, let's make sure we get some wins, and let's try to get, you know, the Lynx should be an example of where you can go. Like, why can't a small market team have, you know, great assets on both sides of the ball in all key positions, right? I mean, and the Vikings, I'm going to start with the Vikes. Like, they've been trying to, you know, move pieces in play, but, you know, you got a small market team in Green Bay, the Legends. How do they keep getting a luck of the draw and getting, you know, all-star quarterbacks? And what's happening? What is the decision-making process? What are folks doing wrong? And maybe the way the Lynx team made this happen, maybe that's going to get the Timberwolves. I'm still waiting to see what piece comes in for the Timberwolves, right? Yes. Lorenzo Ball, LaMelo, my bad, LaMelo Ball. Yeah. And Ant-Man, they're going to do some stuff that looks really dope. Are they going to be able to defend the paint? And are they going to be able to compete offensively when those two dudes, when the defense, you know, locks or attempts to lock those guys down? You know, you got to have a well-rounded team. You saw the Knicks, they were a well-rounded team. You had Carl Anthony Towns, who was taken in the paint. You had the freak of nature in the point guard. You had a lot of other key players who OG, another like utility player who's got a great shot and can match up. Mm-hmm. You got to have the right kind of pieces. And right now the Timberwolves don't have all those pieces yet.
No,
you know, they're going to need another piece, because you sent away beloved Naz Reid and then, you know, Randall. Like, that's two big bodies that they haven't replaced yet. And unless something changed in the NBA overnight, you're going to need some bodies, because one-on-one, you know, Rudy's not going to be able to hold his own against Wimby as Wimby comes, you know, another year of elevation and some of the other big bodies that Gobert has struggled defending, you know, in the past. So, you know, these other teams should pay attention to, you know, the way in which the Lynx have been able to maintain, you know, superiority on their within their assets and their players. And that's all happens, you know, with the GM and the coach. And, you know, so I hope to see some changes. And, you know, you can't just keep chasing, you know, the team that keeps bringing home championship banners.
We chasing jersey sales. We ain't chasing championships right now, and that's the unfortunate part. Because I mean, the reality is that we got a team that's going to show, but we ain't got a team that's going to absolutely push it through. We did not improve from our sixth place ranking in a stacked West. So I mean, that's going to be a very difficult thing, because now you got to figure out, where is that extra scoring going to come from? I mean, I love Jaden McDaniels and you know, but it's day in, day out. It's 82 games. It's a mental grind. And one thing, you know, LaMelo has actually turned into a very good passer. He's been solid. You saw what happened with Charlotte last year. They made it to the play-in tournament, which was good. But there isn't the pieces. Like, Charlotte's going to be a great team next year because they added in a great piece with Naz Reid. And especially he's going to start down there, but he's now elevating the game. And if he can keep his shot going, it's all going to be good for him. But here with Minnesota, it's going to be a very difficult proposition, because now I know I can collapse on Ant. I'm going to collapse on Ant and force everybody else to do it. And that grind for 82 games, you know, let's hopefully that we get to home court advantage. Let's get to that top four. But you're right. We need that extra piece. Hopefully the young kid, French kid.
Berenger.
Yeah, hopefully he steps up, because he's long and he's able to play and put that extra body on Wimby, hopefully. But you know, the reality is that we need to figure out who's going to be that third person beyond Jaden, that can actually go and do their thing. So,
well, definitely at that 3 and 4 position, because I know we got DeSumo, I think I said his name correctly. He's coming back. Not sure what the recovery situation is for DiVincenzo. You know, he's coming out. They're solid in the backcourt, but you know, there definitely is a gap there. So we'll see what happens. You know, Tim Conley has been pretty exceptional in making things happen. So before we get up out of here, we don't even have 2 minutes. We got a half a minute. Before we get up out of here, we want to remind folks again to get out and vote tomorrow in the primary.
Huge
election, a lot of things at stake. So make sure you exercise that right. Do your due diligence. Secretary of State's website is a place to find out where your polling place is if you're a first-time voter. The other thing to remember, in Minnesota, we have same-day voter registration. So you don't need to have pre-registered. You can go in, register on that day, and cast your vote. Be prepared. There may be long lines. Let's go get it. But we're going to get up out of here. Thanks for tuning in to Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. Another week, another episode.
Man, Health Notes is coming at you.
That's right. We'll be back next week, y'all. We out.
Yo, the trains of New York veins, the city's a psycho. People are the bloodstream, mean and ice cold. Laid back counterclockwise, the dice roll. Gang cats, gang flags, plane crash, ground zero. No lost angels, ain't you? From my man's in the area, it's good to meet you. Your man did 20 years for some Fila sneakers, right? True, had the 560 Benz. Light blue when Ev shot himself in the stomach. Smoke and dust, he lit the culture bus. Back when we took the D-train uptown. Shanti and the whole crew, Ruby hairstyle. Yo, baby. Yo, baby, yo, t-shirt.
I just found out I'm listening to Fresh Air Community Radio. That's KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and online at kfai.org.
And you're listening to